Deuteronomy chapter number 33 and verse number 13. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, for the deep that crasheth beneath, and from the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and from the precious things brought forth the moon, and of the chief things of the ancient mountains, for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelleth in the bush, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstlings of the bullock. His horns are the horns of the unicorn. With him he shall push the people together and the ends of the earth. There are 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. In that 16th verse is where we'll take our text this morning. God helping me, I want to preach to you on the goodwill of the bush. Our Father and our God, we are here partly because of the kind invitation of this great camp meeting, but God, more so because we are indebted unto thee. Woe be unto me if I preach not the gospel. And so, Father, again this morning, I'll pray not for limelight, nor for the applaudance of these my brethren, but, oh God, for that anointing that somehow transforms a man and makes him a prophet in the sense of the New Testament. I pray the canopy of your glory will settle around this congregation for this camp meeting. Lord, slide your hand under us. Lift us individually and collectively above all the clouds of hindrance and unbelief today. And Father, meet us upon these altars in every service. Stretch forth your hand in this meeting. Make bare your arm. Confirm your word. And God, we'll give you the praise and the honor and all the glory. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the congregation says, amen. Historically, we are here listening to Moses. Moses is about to climb the mountain. Moses is about to go home. Before he does, he begins to invoke the blessing, his blessing, upon the 12 tribes. But one day, as reading this, and I looked upon this 16th verse, and I found something there that was in Moses' blessing of all the tribes. When he comes to Joseph, he makes a strange pronouncement. He asks for the blessing of him that dwelt in the bush. I looked at that and I thought, why did Moses interject this into this place? What was it? And I began to realize that for Joseph, he wanted a particular blessing. And that when he thought back over his life and looked at all that had happened, he began to realize the significance of everything began at the bush. And so, realizing the importance of the bush and what it had stood for him and what it will stand for his people, he invokes the blessing. For you see, the bush represents a life-changing encounter. Hallelujah. And if God will hear our prayer, this camp meeting, this week, will become a place for each and every one of us individually to find that new burning bush in our lives, that it'll make us an experience that'll change things, that we'll go forth from this place back to those places from which we came, and there'll be a change. There'll be not just a change, but there'll be a life transforming move that's come down into our hearts. You see, before that bush, Moses was an old man, a lonely old man, tending sheep on the backside of a desert in a wilderness. But after that bush, Moses was a man with a mission. And Moses was a man who had a rekindled dream. Oh, hallelujah. I feel like in this meeting, amen, some of us who have grown weary and worn in the battle, some of us who've grown old and white-headed, and some of us who feel almost alone. I feel like telling us in this meeting, amen, that God would like to rekindle the dream of your life. That time when you believe God could do anything. That time when the anointing of God would come on you, and you felt like you could rip the top of a mountain and shake the rocks out of it. Amen. I'm praying that it's not because I'm here or anybody else is here, but because He's here. Oh, hallelujah. When God decides to break into a life with a life-changing experience, and more than anything else, this generation needs a divine encounter, a Holy Ghost interruption. Oh, we've got more learning. We've got more ability, we've got more talent than possibly any time the free, holiest people of America have ever had. But the thing we're dying for is an anointing, a spontaneity. Amen. When the Holy Ghost can come down and interrupt and take over. Oh, yes. I've had some calls, Brother Neil, from some pastors. It goes like this. Brother Gabbard, could you feel led to come? Uh-huh. We'll take care of you financially. Yeah. Our church is not hurting. Right. And then they'll go on to say, but our young people have never seen revival. That's it. Church, it is imperative. Yeah. It is absolutely necessary that this generation, amen, some of us are talking about passing the torch this morning. Before we give them the torch, let's give them the revival. Let's give them the anointing. Let's send to them, amen, what brought us out. And let us realize how important it is. We are dying for the anointing. When we stand under the anointing of God, there is no power in hell or earth that can stop the holiest people of God. When Zion begins to pray, when mothers fall on their knees, when daddies throw down the plow and seek the face of God in the hemlock, amen, there's no power. There's nothing that can stop the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You can't legislate holiness. We can't vote it in or vote it out. All we can do is pray it in or pray it out. And we've got to have that anointing again. And so our prayer is for this first meeting. Amen. We want to invoke upon you the blessing of Him that dwelleth in the bush. When we see the flame again, the world will see the flame in us and come like a moth drawn to the flame. Amen. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Listen, we were born in the fire, but now we're smothered in the smoke. We got one shot at it. We've got to have a divine encounter. Amen. I'm praying that in this meeting, amen, you'll turn aside. Oh, glory to God. From all your distractions, from the distractions of this life, from the burdens and the battles you're fighting, you'll turn aside, being drawn to a new flame, akin to rekindling of a fire. Amen. That'll draw you. Amen. It'll bring you to encounter with Him for ourselves. Her name was Carol. If you've heard our tapes, you probably heard me talk about her. She had been going to a formal church over in little city of McKee. One of our ladies had gotten in contact with her, got talking to her, and invited her to come to the Holiness Church. She had some little kids, one little baby in arms, another still in diapers. The story was she was married to a gambler and to a drunk, and she was living in poverty. Living in horrible conditions. They got to bring her to the church. You could see that she began to unfold and loosen up a little. One night, we had a Holy Ghost interruption in Bond. One night, he that dwells in the bush caught on fire. The Holy Ghost began to flow through that congregation. How many here can say you've looked back over a congregation and seen the Shekinah glory of the Lord roll in? Amen. Like a glorious fog. Hallelujah. Amen. Carol came walking up in that meeting. We knew that she had suffered from a lot of physical ailments and blinding headaches and what have you. And she said, I want to get prayed for. I reached out to lay my hand on her and the Holy Ghost come on me. And I looked down inside of her soul. And I said, Carol, you don't need a Band-Aid. You need a major operation. She looked at me and I thought for a moment she's going to run. I said, Carol, God can help you. He's the only one that can. She looked at me and she said, preacher, do you know? I said, I know. We laid hands on her, began to pray. She fell out and literally it looked like you were peeling off the ears off of her face. After a while, we were shouting and running around the aisles and worshiping God. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. And God Almighty. After a while, I looked at her and she got up. I'm glad he just helped her up over there where she had slain the spirit. And she said, can I tell him? I said, Carol, you don't have to. She said, I want to. I handed her the microphone. This is her story. She had married out of the will of God, married a man that had lied to her, lived a hellish life on earth, babies, no way of feeding them, taking care of them. If she got any help from him, he'd come in and take it and leave her. This baby she had was a crier. It cried and cried and cried and cried. And she'd walk the floor with it, and nobody to help her, and the baby crying. And she said one night, she said, in the middle of the night, way in the night, said, I heard a voice say to me, if you'll just open that oven and put him in there, you won't have these headaches no more. Listen, there's a real devil out there, and he plays for keeps, young people. He's playing. This ain't a game we're playing. When you mess around with those things, you open your mind to things you ain't got no comprehension of. I know we read the papers are full of it every week of this devilish, hellish things that are happening in America and across the world. You think, my God, what kind of a monster? But I'll tell you what, you don't know what kind of a hell they've lived in. Amen. What's drove them there? Amen. What we need in this hour that we're living in is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I hardly know what it is. I just know when I ain't got it. Oh, God, and I know we're needing it. We're needing it to bless him. She said, I couldn't go to anybody. Said, if I'd have went to the social workers that had took my babies. That's the only thing I had. I couldn't tell anybody. But tonight, he set me free. Carol went on to live a productive life. Amen. Church, the world needs to see the real, genuine flame of the fire of the Holy Ghost burning bright in us again. If we'll get bright enough and hot enough, amen, the world will come to where we are. Oh, God, help me today. Help me, Lord, today. When you come in contact with this flaming bush, listen, we can legislate all the wholeness we want to. And I believe in it. From the crown of this bald head to my crooked little toes. I believe in inward and I believe in outward standards. Amen. I believe if you get it right on the inside, it'll soak through like grease out of a gourd and come onto the outside. But we can't write enough rules. We've tried that. We done tried that. You can't get a book big enough, amen, that you can't do this and you can't do that to stop all the inventions of the world and the technological age we're living in. But I'll tell you what we can do. Amen, we can get something. And you'll get a hold of something that you love better than your sin. You'll quit the sinning business. Hallelujah. You got to get a hold of something better than what you failed out to. I want to tell you right now, the worst day I've ever had of living for God is better than the best day I ever had living in sin. Amen. This flaming, this bush, when this thing is to burning just right, there'll be a new reverence coming to you. Lord, help me to be sweet right here. We've got too much foolishness in the hour we're living in. This ain't a game we're playing, friend. Hey, man, we ain't just having a social club here, a get-together that we can have. No, sir. We got one little chance. We got one little door opportunity, one little window, that if we don't do something, hey, man, if we don't pray the bars of hell till they're broken, you'll find yourselves, you hear me, in the next few years praying from behind bars. This country has already passed. They've already passed legislation that's going to make me an outlaw in a few short months. Because I don't care, Mr. Supreme Court Justice. I don't care, Mr. President. You ain't going to tell me how I got to live when it conflicts with what the Holy Ghost has put in my heart. Hey, man, I want you to know, Mr. President, there's a higher power than you are. Mr. Supreme Court Justice, there's a court you're going to that's higher than you are. There is a God, amen, in the heavens who still rules over the affairs of men. Oh, hallelujah. Amen, there are some things that are still worth fighting for. And there's some things still worth dying for. And this ain't a preference with me, my friend. It is a conviction. Amen. It's not an alternate lifestyle. It's an abomination in the sight of God. It's a perversion that God hates beyond anything in the world. It's not like any other sin. And it's still sin. No matter what they say. But when the bush gets to burning, Moses said, I'll turn aside and I'll see this thing. And coming up to that bush, the voice says, put your shoes off, for the ground you stand on is holy ground. We come into this place from our various gatherings and we've prayed and we sought the face of God. Hey, man, this becomes a holy place. These grounds are holy grounds. Hey, man, we ought to walk on them as if we're walking before the Master. Oh, hallelujah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. I saw as his train filled the temple. I saw as the posts and the pillars moved at his presence. And I said, woe is me. Preacher, get everything you can get, but without a woe, don't you go. Until you feel the woe is me, don't you go. Until you realize the awesomeness of the responsibility that is here in this meeting for us today. Oh, I feel like the Lord's fixing to help us. I cried out, I'm a man of unclean lips. It bothers me that these well-oiled evangelists, and I'm a preacher and I love preachers, but it bothers me that we're so flippant that the innuendos become more carnal until we can almost say things in the presence of the other ladies that doesn't bother us anymore. That we can spread gossip faster than a speeding bullet. Something good can happen and it takes you weeks and weeks and weeks and you never hear about it. You know when those spies slipped in there and that woman hid them, she said, we've heard about you all. Said, we've heard how the kingdoms fail. We've heard how God's worked miracles. You know, why didn't she tell them about all the times they'd bust and fit and split and God had judged them? Some way or another, they managed to do something we can't do. They kept it among themselves. I felt something hit me in the back of the head right then. When we get in the presence of this burning bush, we'll be careful what we say. We'll be careful how we say it. We'll be careful who we hurt. We'll be careful what we do. It causes a reverence that we've lost. The old saints, I can remember Brother Neil when they'd testify and they'll say, pray for me that I can live careful. I want to live careful. My old Uncle Willie Langdon, boy, I dread to see him come in the summer. He'd left the hills of Kentucky as a young man because he prayed through and got saved. And he knew he couldn't grow tobacco and go to heaven.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen,
Brother John.
Amen, Brother John.
It's just as wrong to grow it for somebody else as it is for you to smoke it or chew it or whatever else you want to do with it. Amen. He left the hills of Kentucky, took a job in the iron foundries in Ohio, and died coughing his lungs up because he worked at that iron factory and breathed that all them years because he knew that he could not do that and go to heaven. He was the humblest man I ever met. He feared sin. Worse than you to feel a rattlesnake. And they'd put him in the next room and meet us a wild young man running wild and whatever he wanted to do. And Uncle Willie Langdon would pray before he went to bed. Yeah. And it wouldn't just now lay me down to sleep. I mean, they'd go into prayer and they'd pray until I'd put a pillow over my head and try to hide it. Amen. But one thing I knew about Uncle Willie, he believed what he believed. And I'm so glad that whether the last revival he is in, I hold him back and forth, and he'd testify every night that I got to preach in that meeting. And I'm so glad that his testimony was, as he laid there spitting his lungs up, he said to my Aunt Purdy, he said, I wish I could take you in my arms and let you hear what I'm seeing and hear what I'm hearing. He said, I wish I could tell you. He said, I need to begin to call the names of the old saints that done gone on. Church, we need to bush again. Moses said, I feel like it's important for Joseph to get the blessing of the bush. I want to feel this when I'm changing worlds. Amen.
Amen.
And it'll keep you whether you're 6, 16, or 65 or older. Amen. It'll make you live right. It'll make you want to live right. It'll make you want to help whatever it takes, preacher, to give me more power in God. Just show me the way. I want the anointing that's been up in the bush.
When the bush goes to burning, and you get close to the burning of the bush, duty becomes a delight. Yes, sir. All right.
Because you love me. Because you love me. What else could I do, Lord, but it'd make it better? And when you get close to the bush, you'll hear him speak again. Isaiah looked and he saw that seraphim. And he took the tongs and picked that live coal up and carried it over and put it on those lips until it seared those lips. Knew you why he took the tongs? I'll tell you, it was because he couldn't handle the fire. It's because no hand but the hand of flesh that God's anointed can touch that fire.
All right.
Angels can't do what you're doing. Amen. But it's when the hand of God touches you. And Isaiah says, send me. Real genuine prayer is the hardest work we've ever done in our lives. Real genuine prayer is the hardest thing you ever did in your life. When Jacob really realized where he was at, and he crossed over the brook, and he had a divine encounter, and he wrestled with the angel until he went away with the blessing. He limped the rest of his life, but he never forgot that encounter. God said, I'm going to change your name. I'm going to change the image. I say this as sweet as I can. Church, we've had too many shames and tragedies among us. We're going to have to do better, preachers. We're going to have to live better. We're going to have to get close to the bush. You see, the bush is still on fire. God ain't lost one bit of his power.
2012 didn't catch him by surprise. The economy didn't catch him off guard. The bush is still burning. The church needs to get rekindled. And we need to burn again. And the world needs to see us burning through these trials. Shining through the trials. Shining through the battles. Oh, yes. We need the blessing of the bush again. I felt like when I was praying again early this morning that there'd be people here today that you fought the battle until you've grown weary. And probably you're thinking about maybe I'll just hang it up. Give it to somebody else. Maybe if I just turn it over. That's what I felt like. But I want you to know that you've been going through the wilderness. All right. But the bush is about to catch fire.
All right. Hallelujah.
You see, 40 years ago, Moses had a dream.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, God. Sister Joanne, I told Ann the other night, I come down from my prayer room and I said, baby, I want to check out with what I checked in with. I want to catch the dream again. I don't want to preach because I have to, but I want to preach because I have to. Because I've become a burning fire. Shut up my bone. I want to tell somebody, get your dream back around these altars. Amen. Touch that fire. Let it touch you and go back to where you're at and take that 10 or 12 and set them on fire. And God will take them and set somebody else on fire. We're going to have a move of God in spite of the devil. If I didn't believe we could have one more last day revival, I'd go back to the hills. Buy me the best coon dog I could and hit the mountains. But you know what I believe? I believe maybe sitting right here in this meeting is a young man. Or one not so young. That's going to get touched with the fire. And open that book and read it. And believe it. And make us wonder what we've been doing the last 20 years. 5 minutes before Elijah walked into the palace, Baal was king. And hell sat on the throne. And 5 minutes after he walked out of there, Israel knew there's a prophet in the land. Are you ready? I don't know how long I preached. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you sick of the status quo? Are you ready for a life-changing experience? I feel like God gave me this message. I feel like God talked to you about the glory. I'm not ready. I ain't polished enough to give it to you yet. There's still some rough places on it that'll cut you and you don't know how to do with them. So I'll polish it a while more. While I'm doing, I want to polish you with it. Until we're ready. I may be to the play. Neil, I ain't ready to quit. I ain't ready. I'm not fixing there. Somebody, you already tired? No, sir, I'm going to retire.
That's it. That's it. They asked me when I was going to retire. I told them to tell the devil to quit and I'd think about it.
Yeah. But until he does, we ain't.
Yeah,
come on.
That's right. I just think about it. I'd quit.
Tell Richley they better look out.
Yeah, buddy.
Glory to God. Church, we need you. Listen, you old gray-headed outfit, we need you. You done been through some things. I told some young whippersnappers that was kind of looking me over. I said, now wait, let me tell you something. I'm coming back from where you think you're going. We need you. Amen. We all come together here in the hills and pulled our guns one day. My dad was up in 80, sitting down an old porch rocker. We had all them fancy pistols shooting them, you know. He's watching that, hadn't said nothing. Directly he said, son, step up in the house in the bureau drawer and get me my pistol. He had an old 5-inch barrel victory model. World War II. 38 special. Little old thin bead on the front. He said, "What's y'all shooting at?" He laid that thing up there. My brother, who was on the pistol team up there in London, slipped over and put them 1,700 pistols in the case and locked them. Just teach us how to shoot. You may not have, no, you may think you ain't nothing but just one squirrel hot rifle, but make every shot count. All we're looking for is somebody who comes out of there and says, "Get somebody else to take care of the sheep. I just got my dream back. I just got my fight back." Amen. Amen. The devil thought he had me right on the backside of the desert. But wait till I come out of here. I got some prophesying to do. I got some preaching to do. Amen. I got some delivering to do. I got to tell the devil, "Hey, let my people go. Sound free." Amen. Stand with me all over this building. Lift your hands. Hallelujah. Holy God of glory. Almost 2 years ago, we stepped into the fire like I've never been in my life. Brother Neil, people have been with me for 30 years.
Yeah,
turned and I walked away.
How about that?
Yeah. I said, "You don't understand, friend. You cut me, I bleed wholeness."
Yeah.
This is not a preference with me. It's a conviction.
That's right.
I've fought too long to get where I'm at now. I'm not about to back up and give it to some worldly looking outfit. Amen. Who knows more about... Oh, help me right here, Lord. I don't, and if you... I know you're praying somewhere. But when your gymnasium is bigger than your church, it's not a game for him. It's not. We got... We need it. We've got to have one. I stepped in that fire. Men that had stood by me for years.
Yes.
Took, I lost him. I lost him one Sunday. I lost $1,000 a month in finances, and that kind of bothers me when they tell me we're in it for the money.
Yeah.
I heard my boy say. He said he talked to. He's encouraging a preacher, whose wife had just been offered a great fellowship in a college. He said, "I turned down, when I was just teaching Sunday school for my dad, so I turned down a job for $75,000 a year because I wouldn't leave home and relocate." He said, "Then years later, when I was up there at that cookie factory, he said they offered me to come to Atlanta for base salary plus perks, $125,000 a year." He said, "But I held on to God and wouldn't do it." And said, "Now I'm $150,000 in debt for a motor home, but I'm preaching every night." Yeah, let me tell you something. I'm not telling you that if you say punch all the right buttons, amen, do all you're supposed to do right, that all of a sudden it's going to be cookies from heaven. I'm telling you it's a battle. And I'm calling you this morning, if you want to touch the fire, come and die. Come and die out to everything. Amen, but the clear call of heaven to where you can hear God speaking again, saying, "Come out from among them and be with me and I'll bless you." I walked into my living room, stretched out there. It was in July. And I said, "God, what on earth is going on?" It's ripped my heart out that people that I'd clothe their kids, put fire in their home when it's freezing, have walked away. But what hurts me, I said, "I'm not crying about the numbers. We'll have a revival. We'll have numbers again. But what hurts me is, we're going to lose kids. Let us know that we'll never, ever, ever get back." I said, "God, what in the world are we doing? What's going on?" And he said, "This is the year of the locusts." And my heart failed. I thought, God, I was looking for some encouragement here. He said, "Well, study about it." And I went to pulling down the books, reading about how that mighty army of locusts would come into a place. There's no way you could fence against it. There's no way you could plan against it. Your crop would be doing good today. Tomorrow it was gone. But when I read on, I read that there came a day when them locusts cycled out and died. And the earth stank for a while. But the first rains, it seemed like those bodies would almost melt and run into the ground. And when I read that it made a fertilizer, it did something to that ground in those countries, that the next year when they sow, they got a threefold harvest. The Lord ain't told me we was out of it, but along the first part of this year, I felt like it was time to sow again. So I want to tell you, break up your fallow ground, son. Plow a little more next year. Take the seed and throw it out there. And like those that went forth bearing precious seed, weeping, water that seed with your tears, and we're fixing to have a harvest. I'd like to see it start right here, right now, in this meeting. Right here in Georgia. Hey man, the burning, these altars would catch on fire, and you'd catch on fire. And all of a sudden, all around us, we'd realize the power of God is with the people of God again. My God, I don't know how to make an altar call, except I want to say this to you. If the vision's grown dim and you've got tired, would you just walk up here as close to the front as you can get with us, and let's join together in this day, and let's ask God to light the fire, to give us a move in the bush. As they sang the song, I want you to come. Everybody that will. Preacher, if you're thinking about quitting,